Rob, thank you so much for joining us. I'll ask you as we take a look around the Premiership. What does Manchester United do in the midfield? I mean, it's a great problem to have if you're Jose Mourinho, because in the past you've been sort of trying to scrape together a midfield and almost holding your nose at times. Now you've got Nemanja Matic playing very well and giving you sort of the protection you need as a holding midfielder. But you've got some, I guess, pleasant issues with the rest of the midfield. How do you think he addresses it?
Yeah, for once he does actually have some options there from making that strong start to the season. And obviously he'll be quite reticent to mix things up, as he's got the sort of confidence high from last weekend, and particularly the impressive nature of Matic's full United debut in the Premier League. So it's it's giving Mourinho less to complain about, even if he's sort of missed out perhaps on his complete set of transfer targets that he wanted. Four new signings. He's not, he's not managed to achieve that. But they're heading in to Swansea on a high. I think there's been a bit of over exaggeration some way, and the place where United are, particularly after last season, where their problems at home were well documented. The fact drawing too many games, but they did start last season with 3 wins, and they still went on to finish 6th. So perhaps a note of early season caution is required.
You know, I have to admit that when Man U got Matic, I kind of shrugged. I mean, it's my team, and I kind of shrugged. And I thought, well, okay. I mean, I kind of wanted a little more than that. And I know it's just one match, but through the preseason and through that initial match, it seems to me, Rob, as if he may be exactly the player that Man U was missing last year. And he just seems, it almost seems as if he makes everything Jose Mourinho wants to do work.
Yeah, he provides that key stability in midfield, really, perhaps in a sort of lacking the glamour, obviously, of some other players on the pitch, but you need someone to really control midfield like that. And you know, when you've got someone like Carrick, whose career is winding down at the moment, mm-hmm. obviously, despite being named captain in Rooney's absence, but he's really the key figure who can, you know, get control of the ball to make the others sort of flourish in front of him, and actually to perhaps steal the limelight, but for him to be the sort of key architect of that behind him.
Rob, Sherry Ford here. I've been to Wembley Stadium when it was sold out, 90,000 fans for the gold medal soccer game at the Olympics for women's soccer in 2012. But Wembley Stadium hosts its first Premier League match when Tottenham plays Chelsea on Sunday. Wembley, of course, the Spurs' home while their new arena is being built. Tell me, will Wembley work out better for Tottenham than Olympic Stadium did for West Ham?
Well, the good thing for Tottenham, unlike West Ham, is they're not stuck there for many years. West Ham are obviously committed there for, the next 100 years or so. And it wasn't the best viewing experience there last season, particularly from where we're positioned in the media. At the back of the stand, when you've got the big running track there and there's the huge distance from the pitch. Maybe that's just because we're used to being so close to the action, whereas in other countries, they're more used to the fact that that distance from the pitch. But Tottenham's main problem is the fact this psychological barrier from last season of the Champions League and the Europa League, only getting 1 win out of 3 in the group stage home games there in the Champions League, and then also losing the FA Cup there as well. So there's this sort of barrier in their own mind to playing on the pitch. It's slightly wider than White Hart Lane, which might not suit them. And obviously it's unfamiliar territory, and perhaps opponents will be sort of up for every occasion when they go there, because it's almost like a cup final going to Wembley. But what's remarkable actually about the stadium is just how it was beset by problems with the field in its early days when it opened 10 years ago. I've been there a few times for various things in recent weeks, and about a month ago the pitch looked in a terrible state following concerts in the summer. It looked like someone had revved up a car on the pitch almost. But gradually over the following weeks, and as you saw then with the Community Shield a couple of weeks ago, the pitch is in pristine state because they've managed to get to grips with transforming the pitch and relaying it if necessary. And they always have an alternative pitch somewhere they can always bring in.
Man, you have a great job. Anyway, Jermaine Defoe is in line to start for Bournemouth on Saturday. The big summer signing didn't start last week because he was experiencing some groin issues. Do you think the striker is good enough condition to play now? Because he missed a lot of preseason due to some groin injuries. So, but they kind of need him. Like, there's a lot of injuries on that team right now.
Well, yeah, indeed. And obviously, sort of, it wasn't the the start that Eddie Howe would have wanted, losing 1-0 at West Brom last weekend. And they've really sort of brought Defoe in on the hope that he can continue that sort of run with Sunderland last season. But Defoe was talking quite a bit last season about how he sort of changed his ways to help him, you know, prolong his career and to try to, he's actually sort of adopted a vegan diet and cryotherapy just to lead this sort of healthier lifestyle, will sort of prolong his legs and keep him sort of going for longer. And you're well aware how dismissively some people in the UK look at MLS, but the way he managed to sort of use his stint over there to sort of almost lift his career, which earned him the opportunity to come back to the Premier League, is something that surprised many and sort of showed how actually MLS can sort of be a staging ground to actually take your career on, even at sort of the later stage.
Rob, what does Chelsea have to do to get out of its current state right now? I mean, it seems remarkable that a team with a great coach, a great core, and an owner with, you know, a fair amount of money, defending champions, they just, I don't know if I'd say they're in a mess right now, but obviously with Diego Costa, there are some serious issues with that club. What has to happen there? Is it simply a matter of getting rid of Costa and moving on? Is that sort of the cure-all?
I mean, there's been a strange atmosphere since there, even ever since winning the title. There was barely a chance to celebrate before there was the issues setting in, whether it's the fact Conte's future was in doubt, and he did sign a new contract, but it was only for the same length as his current deal, so it was only basically getting a pay rise, and the fact he didn't commit to a longer stint sort of perhaps added to that sense of uncertainty around the club. And this Costa issue has really been there now for, 8 months, and they've not managed to deal with it. Obviously, Costa doesn't seem the easiest person to resolve a situation with, but he clearly wants out. Perhaps Chelsea just need to find an amicable way of resolving this, because Costa's so determined to get out of the club that he will not play for 7 months, because obviously Atletico Madrid actually can't sign any new players at the moment under the terms of their transfer ban. But, I don't think any defending champion of the Premier League have actually lost the first two games. So Chelsea, after that sort of wild game last weekend against Burnley, facing Spurs is not going to be the easiest of game.